אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
You're with SBS Hebrew. I'm your host, Marielle Olensky. Now, as unprecedented wealth transfers into the hands of women, so does the opportunity to redefine investing not only for financial growth, but as a lever for social, environmental, and economic transformation. This is what Lillian Klein, one half of the DEA Network's founders, had to say alongside her equally financially astute business partner, Sari Rankin OAM. They launched the DEA Network, which aims to empower Australian women to take control of their capital and invest with purpose. This is what she had to say. Lillian, tell us a little bit about the DEA Network and why it was created.
So the DEA Network was created really to fulfill a need that my partner Sari and I felt ourselves as women who are stewarding their own wealth. We felt that there weren't appropriate spaces to ask questions, to share our experiences, and really to get good information around what we should be doing with our money that was clear, concise, and tailored for women. There was a lot of education, a lot of networks out there that were talking to women about philanthropy and giving their money away, but not really much in the way of supporting women to essentially step into their power and make money, and what to do once they had made their money.
Do you think there's an assumed knowledge in the sense that financial literacy really is the preserve of women who naturally orbit in these money concentric circles, and that for women who don't have that same access to money, they give up before they even try, because why bother understanding such specialised or even basic financial information and investments when their lives just simply don't necessitate it?
I think the opposite. I don't think that there's assumed knowledge. I think there's assumed gender roles. I think women who are around significant amounts of wealth are often relegated to the, sweetheart, you give the money away and you leave the investment decisions and the big decisions to the men in the family. And that was experiences that Sari and I had at various points in our life, both with wealth advisors or family dynamics playing out individually for us around who controls the wealth. As we know, and so many people are talking about it, there's unprecedented wealth transfer about to happen, and it's an unprecedented amount of money that's going into the hands of women. So with that trend, Sari and I absolutely saw that there's the opportunity to redefine how people invest. We saw an opportunity to help actually redefine how the financial system works. Once the customer, once the client, who are the women, create the demand, we believed that the financial system and the products will align to meet the demand of what women are requesting when they are making investment decisions or assessing risk.
Okay, and so how does the DEA Network actually become instrumental in informing women how to invest?
We just had our end of year cocktail function the other day at one of our sponsors. One of our founding partners was Arnold Bloch Leibler, who worked with a lot of high net wealth families and women. And we asked two of our members to share what was interesting for them. And the way some of our members describe what DEA Network is for them, it's like book club for money. So we've created, like women do, very supportive, safe circles. We call them our investor circles of between 10 and 12 women who are going through an online learning journey together at their own pace to understand investment and wealth product and terminology and basically the way financial markets work. They come together once a month and share either what they're learning, what are the challenges around the content, but then what is happening for them around starting a family office or having conversations with family members about money, how to talk to their children about money, how to talk to their parents about money, how to present the case to their wealth advisor, who often in a meeting will speak only to their husband. So what gets discussed in these investor circles run by Sari and me, run by women for women, is not different to what you would be discussing in a book club. Some of it's personal, some of it's professional, but what we've really prided ourselves on is creating trusted and safe spaces for women to explore their money stories.
So what are the trends that you're seeing in ethical or impact investment in Australia right now?
Appetite just continues to grow. And with the appetite for more, we're calling it values aligned investing, because we realize, first of all, every investment, every time you spend a dollar, it has an impact, whether it's positive or negative. So the way we talk to our members about it is helping them understand what their values are around money and what their values are around investing and how to align those. So with women inheriting more money and with the next generation of investors, if you like, and consumers coming into money, people, we know this to be true across the board. People care more about ethical consumption. People care more about ethical products. People care more about gender and how to invest in a way that aligns with a gender lens. And people care about their investments not harming the planet. Women are slightly more likely than men to invest that way. And we certainly know that the next generation of investors and consumers also invest that way. So with greater demand for those types of investment opportunities, fund managers and investment advisors are going to have to source product or create product to meet the demand for investments that hit the same returns as people. We're not saying that people need to forego commercial returns, but that it's not just the financial returns that people are looking at. They're looking also for social and environmental impact.
And some people think that ethical investing means sacrificing those financial returns. What does the evidence actually show?
It's great timing, actually, that we're doing this interview on Tuesday, which was 2 days ago. We had the absolute honour of hosting this extraordinary impact investor, former doctor, philanthropist investor from America. Her name's Dr. Ruth Shaber. She started her career as an obstetrician and gynaecologist, came into a very significant amount of wealth, and decided to set up a foundation that was devoted to philanthropy in the reproductive healthcare and to women and girls. She then decided her philanthropy in that area was not enough and she wanted to invest the 95%, the bulk of her money, into investment opportunities or funds that had a good track record of supporting women. There were no metrics around what that looks like. So with her own funds, she sourced the best research available and created frameworks around what it looks like to invest in listed in public markets and in private markets where the impact of those investments was positive on women. Now, as she did this, she also got research conducted by very, very reputable groups like Vanguard into how does her investment portfolio with a gender lens stack up against other commercial portfolios of a similar nature. And she found that if you invest in organizations that have a gender diversity ratio of a minimum of 33% or above, you will outperform the market by at least 5% and a minimum of 47 basis points, which is really significant. And that is the stuff that we are sharing with the DIA network so that when their advisors roll their eyes and say, you can't make money doing good, here's how you make money and do good, even just in the gender space. And that's not even looking at the research around climate investing. Climate investing shows similar returns that, you know, being gender smart or climate smart is being business smart, being investment smart. It's not just a nice to have socially. Actually, it has financial impact as well.
Do you worry that some of these companies have a lot of greenwashing involved in them rather than actually having hard metrics to show proof?
Absolutely. And that's something that we also share. We have experts who come in and explain to the women and explain in a way that either they can bring their investment advisors in to understand as well how to do good due diligence on those sorts of organizations. And whilst greenwashing is very real, and so is the term pinkwashing now around people pretending to have more women involved in decision making or whatever, the reality is, the way I see it, it means that it is aspirational. It's not a good thing if funds are, you know, bullshitting and basically using this as a marketing tool. But at least at the market level, there's an acknowledgement that this is what the market is requesting. And eventually those funds get found out. And we've seen the start of some investigations at the ASIC and ACCC level of organisations who've misled the market. And the more this happens and the better educated the market becomes, the less likely it's likely to happen because people will be able to see through the marketing, you know, bluster.
With Donald Trump back as the President of the United States, do you worry about the trickle-down effect that could eventually reach Australians vis-a-vis his views and his reforms around the environment and gender and all those hot-button civic issues that you speak of?
We're absolutely already seeing the impact of that, particularly around diversity targets. We have obviously different problems in Australia than they do in the United States, but certainly the DEI, which used to be kind of central in most large organisations in America, is very fast being dismantled. That said, there has been many, many problems with the DEI system in the United States, and we don't have quite the same structures here in Australia. But Donald Trump's policies certainly have had a chilling impact on organisations wanting to engage in conversations around diversity and even around climate and targets and reporting. Because, of course, all of this way of investing and all of this kind of work is dependent on robust and accurate reporting of what organisations and funds are actually doing. So without the mandatory reporting, it's very hard to understand whether someone is greenwashing or pinkwashing.
So do you think it's still very much a company-by-company, organisation-by-organisation infrastructure problem, or do you think it's an industry-wide problem?
I think it's an industry-wide thing, and I think there's a significant role for the large industry bodies. Dr. Ruth Shaber, who I was just talking about, was actually brought to Australia by the superannuation industry. I think the superannuation industry is a really good example of they're obviously the holders of the most significant amount of wealth. The beneficiaries of that wealth are largely going to be women. And so they need to be thinking about how they best perform for their women. And why do I say that? The large industry funds are usually the funds where it's nurses and teachers and a lot of our frontline workers are members. That tends to favour quite significantly women. And as we know from Australian statistics, women are more likely to outlive men in 2025 and probably in 2026, which means that it's women who will be relying on their superannuation in a way that's more significant than their husbands and partners who are dying earlier. So if you can get the superannuation funds to act in a way that's more ethical and to seek out more impact-driven or values-driven investments and to think about their women members more significantly and to report, then that sets the trend for the financial system in Australia.
Lillian, my penultimate question, in your experience, what are the biggest barriers stopping women from feeling confident about investing?
It's lack of education and lack of confidence. So even once women have education, we have some really, really accomplished women in our network. It's not being given the opportunity to step into their power. So part of the goal of the DEA network is to ensure that women feel supported, and we provide the infrastructure and the holding for women to step into their, you know, financial power and their money power as equally as any of the other members of their family or their teams, or certainly as much as their male counterparts. So it's a combination of those two things, and that's what we're trying to solve for, to give women the education tools and the financial and wealth literacy and to give them the confidence and the tools to step into that financial and wealth power.
Lillian, with all due respect, some of the women that you have on your advisory board are household names. These are women that have been around the financial sector for a very long time. So what about the women that are a little bit more anonymous and they're quite new into this kind of thing? Would you advise them to get involved in a group like this as well?
I would say absolutely. There are so many apps these days that can help you understand your portfolio. I would urge every woman to understand how their superannuation works. I would urge every woman to understand whose name is on the title of their house if they're lucky enough to own a house or have a mortgage, and just to educate themselves with as much knowledge as possible. Knowledge is power.
And that kind of answers my last question. But for the women listening who want to start investing ethically but feel overwhelmed, what's the first practical step they can do today? So, of course, you mentioned the apps.
Look at the apps. I mean, just start reading the newspaper. Start reading financial information. It seems boring at the outset, and then it is actually quite interesting until you get into it. I think people, it's no less scary. It's no more scary than any other industry. It's designed to make you feel intimidated. One of our members is a doctor, and she said when she joined that she felt like an idiot. And I said, you speak a language that no one else in the financial world speaks, and that's medical speak. It's just another language. So don't be intimidated. Everybody's starting from the same point. And, you know, there's always more to learn. And ask questions. If you're asking a question in a meeting around your superannuation fund or your bank, I guarantee you other people have the same questions.
Lillian Klein, thank you so much for joining us again on SBS.
Thank you so much for having me.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.